morning. I'm Judge Castle. To my right is Judge Lance. To the left is Judge Scholin. We're here today in the matter of Vigil versus Mansfield, docket number 053246. Would counsel for both parties please note your appearance for the record?
Judge Carpenter appearing on behalf of the appellant, also appearing as one referral.
Thank you.
Nick and Paul Kirshner for the Secretary, Your Honor.
With
David Quinn.
Thank you. I may know him, but the record doesn't. Are both parties ready to proceed? Each party will have 30 minutes to present their respective arguments. And Mr. Carpenter, you may go first. Do you want to reserve time?
I'd like to reserve 10 minutes, Your Honor.
10 minutes. You have that. You may proceed.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Mr. Vigil made his original claim in December of 1980 for compensation for post-traumatic stress disorder. That claim was denied in 1982. From 1982 to 1989, he made several unsuccessful attempts to reopen. Beginning in 1989, he began an effort which was eventually successful in the reopening and the awarding of an award of compensation for post-traumatic stress disorder at a total rating from January 1979. Mr. Vigil initiated an appeal on the effective date, relying upon 38 CFR 3.156C. The board in this case on appeal determined that even if the evidence from the the initials are USASCURR, had been of record at the time of the February 1981 determination, the record nevertheless lacked evidence that the veteran suffered from post-traumatic stress disorder at that time. Mr. Vigil believes that that is a misinterpretation of the pertinent regulation and avoids and denies him the opportunity for a retrospective evaluation as contemplated by that regulation, and that therefore the absence
of... So just to be clear, you're not saying the board was wrong with regard to the evidence in the prior decision. What you're saying is their focus on that meant that they did not consider any time period between then and the date that was given.
Well, it reaffirms their misinterpretation that the regulation does not apply and that the purpose of the regulation...
Well, they said it didn't apply for various reasons, none of which was the retroactive part. They don't even discuss the retroactive part.
That's correct, Your Honor. But they do make a finding of fact that he didn't suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. And it seems...
When?
At the time of his original
claim. In 1982?
At the time of the February 1981 determination.
Correct.
Yes.
But they made no determination with regard to his PTSD from that time period until the date he was given.
No, they did not. As a matter of fact, what they say is there's no evidence of PTSD until after the veteran filed his January 1989 claim. And that's in the record at page 2.
Just to cut through some of this, if the old regulation applies and would permit applies, then your issue is they should consider a retroactive sometime post-decision of 81 to the date he was given.
Yes. That
and either the old regulation applies, is your argument, or the new regulation, I assume you're arguing, applies because you submitted some notice of that, and I guess it did pass.
Well, I submitted the supplemental authority on the VA's interpretation of its own regulation as it proposed to amend that regulation, in which it clearly identified that both the language of the existing regulation was confusing and ambiguous, and it stated repeatedly what the standard practice was.
Okay, so we don't need to consider whether the new reg applies. Your argument is that its explanation of the old reg says that the old one applied.
Correct.
Okay, got the issue.
Well, that the old... Its explanation says that the interpretation being proffered is the correct interpretation.
Counsel,
yes, sir.
How do you get over the fact that we don't have any evidence, medical evidence, of PTSD until 1989?
Well, because that's the function of the regulation, Your Honor. The regulation contemplates that if you are successful at a later date, which is exactly what happened here, then you have the opportunity to have a retrospective examination or evaluation to determine whether or not the symptoms that were identified in the record, and I believe they were referred to as an atypical anxiety disorder in this case.
So you're arguing that VA should have remanded to give your client an exam?
Yes.
I believe in your brief you argued for reversal.
And I did, Your Honor, and I was overzealous in that request, and I think that
so you concede now that your client does not have medical evidence to support a retrospective award of benefits all the way back to 1982?
No, that the only way that he would be entitled to that effective date would be by the application of the regulation which requires the VA to afford him a retrospective evaluation. That's correct.
Does that evaluation have to be medical, or could the board review the information that was submitted in 1991 that self-contains discussion about PTSD and the effects, perhaps going back to an earlier time period? Maybe they wouldn't be able to pick a date and then send it to a medical, but does the reg require a medical evaluation?
Well, the reg only talks in terms of a retrospective evaluation, Your Honor, and clearly the board might be at cross purposes with this court's decision in Colvin if they were to do that, because clearly that would be, I think, a medical determination. And as a consequence, I think the board doing it other than affirmatively, that if they were to do it negatively, then I think that would be a violation of Colvin. I don't think the board could do it adversely. Could they do it affirmatively or favorably to the appellant? Yes, I think they probably could. Would that be consistent with the regulation? Although I think the VA has taken significant steps to clarify some of the confusion and ambiguity, I'm not sure they are quite there yet with precisely what it is they contemplate is to take place in that retrospective evaluation. And, of course, who is to perform it and when it is to be performed. It seems clear to me.
Well, if you go to Record 84, I just want to, you know, I mean, you have a medical document here in 1991, Record of 84 at the very bottom. After Vietnam, he has difficulty with sleep. If one reads the criteria for PTSD, he has all 19 of the 19 characteristics. I mean, the board could read that to say a time period, there is medical evidence. They may not. I'm not saying what they have to do.
And if they were to rely on that medical evidence, then I think that avoids Colvin. I'm sorry, I thought you were talking about if the board were to make the determination on its own.
No, the question was, did they actually have to send out for a VA medical exam per reg? And I don't think they do. I think they just need to do an assessment, and then they may have to send out for it.
Right. However, that somewhat conflicts with the finding of fact that this board decision made, that there was no evidence of PTSD. That clearly indicates that there was evidence of PTSD, although there may not have been what they previously referred to as a confirmed diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder. But clearly, if you met that many of the diagnostic criteria.
Once again, though, the conflict is only to a date in 81.
That's correct.
There still is no assessment by this board. No. Of PTSD post 81
from 81 to 89. That's absolutely correct.
I'd like to get back to the publication of the proposed regulations. So it is your position that based on the background language contained in the materials accompanying the regulation, that the agency practice was to consider CUR records as part of the service department records, or that a reopening wouldn't be solely based on either new material evidence or on service records. Is that correct?
That's correct, Your Honor.
And it's basically because of the language in the preamble that discusses that currently they say this?
Yes, and that they refer to that as being their practice. Now, I have to tell you in candor, that's not been my experience with the VA, and I'm not sure where that practice was being administered, but this is, I think...
In this case, you certainly wouldn't dispute the Secretary's...
I certainly would not, and would support their analysis of what they represent, but I think that that's fairly consistent with my experience between the disconnect between the central office and the regional offices, and oftentimes, as is evident in this case, the disconnect at the board, where there is not a adequate understanding of what the current practice is or what the policy is or what the understanding is of how otherwise confusing VA regulations are to be applied.
So therefore, we don't need to reach the question, I know you sort of mentioned this briefly at the beginning, reach the question of the retroactivity of the new regulation with regard to your client's claim?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, because as I read that introduction, it clearly indicates what the VA understood to be the interpretation of the extant regulation, or the pre-amendment regulation, and declared what their policy or practices were in terms of that. And therefore, it's not a question of retroactivity, although there is far greater clarity in the amended regulation. The fact is that the declaration, as I read it, clearly indicates that the intention of the amendment was to clarify and to remove any ambiguity that existed, while at the same time declaring that this has been our ongoing practice. And if that's been their ongoing practice, that's their interpretation of the extant regulation in this case, and that the matter should have been applied consistent with that practice.
Did you argue below that the VA should have conducted an examination to determine your client's condition between when he filed to reopen his claim and when the prior claim was denied?
I'm reasonably sure that I did, but off the top of my head, I can't tell you with the affirmation. I did file both a notice of disagreement and a substantive appeal in this case, indicating that 3.156C apply and that he was entitled to the benefit of that regulation. I normally articulate that part of that is he is entitled to a retrospective evaluation. So I presume that that is there, but I can't tell you independently off the top of my head.
Counselor, can you point out to me any place in the record where the credibility of your client's report of being present at this ammo dump demolition was discounted, and any practitioner or other individual or official say, geez, if we just had evidence that to bolster your credibility, would give you a PTSD rating?
No, I don't believe I can, Your Honor, but I'm not sure that that's pertinent to the regulation. The way in which I understand the regulation to operate, after having read their explanation to their amendment, is that it is a function of the receipt of information which confirms the stressor, and that that's precisely what took place here. And so credibility really doesn't become a pertinent matter either previously or subsequently. It's the fact that they had it, and that triggers the application of the regulation in terms of effective date. What is particularly or remains particularly confusing is that we have what is essentially an effective date regulation put in a subsection of a regulation on reopening. Well, obviously it is how you assign an effective date in a reopening, so I suppose to some extent that makes sense. But what they did was is they actually removed 3.400Q2 when they made the amendment. So there now is no regulation in the regulatory provision that relates to service records as previously existed, and they rely exclusively on 3.156C. And in so doing, what they have done is to create a situation in which once the VA receives these Supplemental Service Department records and there has been a award of benefits, and we're now dealing with an effective date from the date of the reopened claim back to the date of the original claim, we find ourselves in what is essentially the equivalent of a Fenderson staged rating analysis, but it is a analysis based upon a retrospective evaluation from the date of the original claim to the date of the reopening.
So is it your position then that the VA could potentially find that maybe your client couldn't demonstrate eligibility in 1980, but he could in 1987?
Yes.
And set that as the effective date?
Yes. Okay. Yes. Yes, I believe it's a function of when the evidence is sufficient to establish that that disability existed. And then obviously we move to the next level of Fenderson to determine what the evaluation should be from that date to 1989.
Basically, the regulation, if it applies, affects that date that he came in to reopen. And I think
the date prior.
No, it affects the date that he came in to reopen and allows you to get an earlier date than the date he came in to get reopened if the regulation applies. And in effect, they're recognizing that when doctor in 2003 says you have PTSD, that doesn't mean the day you walked into the office you have PTSD. They've got to figure out somehow or another and explain it well, et cetera, as to why there's PTSD. And with well explained and so forth, it's upheld. If not, it's returned.
I believe that's correct, Aaron. And I actually believe that covers everything that I had planned to say, and although I am...
So in response to Judge Sholin's question, make sure that I understand the remedy that you seek. The remedy you seek is a remand?
Yes, Your Honor.
No longer reversal?
No, I don't believe I can support reversal, even though, as Judge Castle points out, I think you could argue that it's there, but the board never reached it. And if the board didn't reach it, I'm not sure that it's appropriate for this court to do it.
And you want a retrospective medical examination to ascertain when, if at all, your client was eligible for PTSD between 1980 and 1989?
From December 1980 until the current effective date, I believe it's January of 1989. And that examination should be directed to ask the examiner to determine whether it's at least as likely as not that the current symptoms of post-traumatic stress disorder were present as early as the date of his original claim.
I'm going to have to ask for clarification on that. If the regulation applies, the date can go back to the very date of the original claim.
That's correct.
Even though the board found here that there was no PTSD on this record,
that's right.
If the regulation applies and they give a retrospective, could they not then go to the earliest date of the original claim as opposed to just the ending date? Because now you would have additional
facts.
I'm
sorry, I must have misspoke, Your Honor. That's what I meant to say.
That's what I thought.
I'm sorry, excuse me if I misspoke. I meant to say from the date of the claim. Yes, excuse me. Anything further? No. Thank you very much, Your Honor.
All right. You lose force 19. We save it. Please. Just want to make clear we don't need to discuss the retroactive effect of the new regulation itself.
May it please the court, Nathan Paul Kirshner for the secretary. With me at council table is David Quinn. Thank you for the clarification, Your Honor. Your Honors, the August 2nd, 2005 board decision should be affirmed because appellant is not entitled to an earlier effective date as a matter of law. Appellant is not so entitled for three reasons. First, a diagnosis of post-traumatic stress disorder was specifically considered and specifically ruled out by an examiner in January 1982. Secondly, the board made a specific finding of fact that there is no evidence of PTSD until after appellant's January 1989 claim, which gives rise to the current effective date. Thirdly, Your Honors, Section 3.156C explicitly states, the retroactive evaluation of disability resulting from disease or injury subsequently service-connected on the basis of the new evidence from the service department must be supported adequately by the medical evidence. The evidence of record shows that PTSD was ruled out until October 1991, and that was the diagnosis by Dr. Cole. So even when considering 3.156C, an evaluation prior to the one in place is
impossible. Consider for discussion purposes, it applies, because your three arguments are that even if it did apply, he couldn't get it. What about the duty to assist? Doesn't the secretary have a duty to develop evidence? And in this case, doesn't it come strongly across that the board didn't feel any development of evidence was necessary because they could not, in fact, give an earlier date? Isn't that what this case says?
Assuming arguendo, yes, that 3.156C applies, the secretary has a duty to develop further evidence, in particular, obtain an examination when the secretary believes that further evidence is necessary to decide the claim. It's apparent from the board's decision that the secretary did not believe this was necessary.
I mean, it seems to me it's very clear they felt he couldn't get an early effective date period because the reg didn't apply.
Well, Your Honor, because the board did make a finding of fact.
On the evidence before it.
On the evidence before it.
Well, they never said, if this regulation applies, we don't need to do the duty to assist to develop because there's no evidence that could be developed, did they?
Pardon me, I'm not sure I understand the question, Your Honor.
They never said, if this regulation applies, we nevertheless do not need to develop further evidence because there's no reasonable expectation that we could develop further evidence. They never said that, did they?
I don't believe they said exactly that, Your Honor.
In fact, they just said the regulation doesn't apply and on the evidence before us, you can't get an earlier date.
I believe so, Your Honor, but they did make the finding of fact. They also looked at the regulation in R.8.9. They made a statement, again at R.8.9, saying that an earlier effective date was not justified based upon a judicious reading of the regulation. So I believe that though they didn't necessarily apply the regulation.
Right, but their judicious reading, if I may interrupt, of the regulation said that CUR records were not contemplated to be included in the service department records contemplated under 3.156 at the time, and that the case was reopened based on the PTSD diagnoses, not because of service records. So their judicious reading of the regulation is very different than the reading proffered by the appellant.
That's true, Your Honor. I'm not sure from the board's decision whether it had the benefit of the comments in the Federal Register that were submitted by appellant. So that may be.
Well, but the benefits submitted by the appellant are the secretary's view, are they not?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, then the board cannot. I mean, if the board said that it was A and the secretary said it was B, then B rules, does it not? Unless we find that B is arbitrary and capricious.
I believe so, Your Honor. But even that being the case, in this case, there's no evidence of post-traumatic stress disorder until 1991, as the board so found.
Let's focus on the relevant issue here. In 1982, we have a medical examination that says you do not have PTSD.
Correct, Your Honor.
Is that correct? All right. Is there any indication in the record that these unit records that were subsequently discovered and provided would have benefited the medical practitioners in that 1982 examination?
No, Your Honor. If you look at the medical examination, I believe it's record at 58 and 59, the examiner specifically considered appellant stressor, which was later confirmed, and that was the explosion of the ammo dump.
So they didn't say if you only had evidence of this stressor, additional evidence other than your word and your version would be able to give you PTSD rating.
That's correct, Your Honor. Instead, they went into noting other symptomatology that appeared to be absent. Apparently, appellant at that time had one nightmare regarding PTSD per year, and he did not have an exaggerated startle response. Based upon all of that, the examiner concluded that appellant did not meet the specific criteria for PTSD. He did diagnose him with other conditions.
Okay, let's just play devil's advocate that in 1982 at the exam, he did not have PTSD. But by 1991, he did. So would the regulation work to apply, sort of building on the question I asked Mr. Carpenter, that maybe in 1987 he had PTSD, or in 1985 he had PTSD? Could the regulation, under your interpretation, be applied to require development to determine whether he had PTSD at some date subsequent to 1982, but prior to the effective date granted in 1989?
I don't believe so, Your Honor. Assuming that it could, once again, the board decided the claim on the evidence of record and found that it was sufficient. in any event, there's also nothing in the record between the 1981 or 1982 examination and then some medical records in 1988 and 89, and no diagnosis of PTSD until 1991.
Well, you just confused me. Let's assume for a second that the evidence is that he has PTSD in 1987. Let's assume it's there. All right? Could the board assign an earlier effective date of 1987? If the regulation applied.
Assuming, Your Honor, yes, that the regulation
okay.
applies.
So
and
if the regulation
evidence,
applies, the secretary would have the duty to assist to develop the evidence for an earlier effective date.
I'm not sure about that, Your Honor, because...
Well, give me some authority why the board wouldn't have the duty to develop evidence.
Your Honor, under, I believe, 3.156, or not 3.156.
Let me restate it, because I think this... We're not here today to decide if the 1981 decision was wrong. That's not what this is about. Assume it's correct. What happened is new records were found, and the regulation and the secretary have said, geez, if these are service records, go back, find the date. So this isn't an issue about were they wrong in 1981. This is an issue about whether a regulation applies to allow an earlier effective date prior to, as early as, the original claim or any time in between that and the subsequent claim.
Well, if I can just build on, because there's sort of a presupposition in your question, which is, does the Secretary now contend that the regulations would apply, that the interpretation proffered in the proposed regulations does apply to Mr. Vigil's claim to include CUR records and to allow for an earlier effective date, whether the claim was reopened based on new material evidence or on service department records? Does the Secretary now agree that that interpretation would apply?
Your Honor, the Secretary would, I believe, agree with regards to the CUR records. Apparently, as to the earlier effective date as well. However, in this instance, it must be noted that these records were not used to reopen appellant's claim. What reopened appellant's claim was...
But that was my question, actually. Does that piece, do you interpret the proposed regulations preamble language to include the concept of, does the claim have to be reopened because of the service department records, or could the claim be reopened due to other new material evidence and then subsequently service records are secured?
I believe, given the comments and the new regulation, and particularly under the new regulation, that, pardon me, Your Honor, the
you might want to take a look at what the Secretary said with regard to new material. In practice, we're going to remove the requirement for new material to make it consistent with our practice. I mean, what are you arguing?
Well, Your Honor, if that was the Secretary's practice, then...
Well, I didn't write this.
So if that's the case, then the fact that service records were not necessary to reopen his case or were not implicated in reopening his case seems to me to be irrelevant. The question is just, it seems to operate if there are service records, irrespective of their key relevance to the ultimate outcome or to reopening, actually.
Yeah, they may still have to be relevant some way to the outcome. And they were in this case, so I don't think it's an issue. But if they drop new material entirely and say that's consistent with the practice in the past, why has it got to be relevant to the reopening?
Even if, Your Honor, it does have to be relevant to the reopening, both the new and the old regulation and the comments preserve the necessity that any retroactive evaluation be supported by the medical evidence. And in this instance, that's not the case.
Now, I don't remember if your question got answered since I interrupted so much.
No, I think it got answered.
Okay.
All right. With that, the Secretary urges affirmance.
Thank you. You have 10 minutes.
Thank you very much, Your Honor. Judge Lance, I'd like to start with your inquiry about the benefit to the medical practitioner at the time if they had had the service department records. I believe that that is not a relevant consideration for the retrospective evaluation. The retrospective evaluation is predicated on the receipt of those supplemental service department records by the VA. But once they're received, the next step is for the VA to perform the required retrospective evaluation to determine when, if at all, post-traumatic stress disorder can be quantified or identified in to a reasonable degree of medical certainty in the relevant time period, in this case from 1980 to 1989. And the impact of the previous evaluation is not at issue. Just as Judge Castfold says, the question here is not whether the decision was correctly decided in 1982 or whether the medical evaluation was correct that he didn't meet the criteria. The purpose of the retrospective evaluation is to determine under the regulation whether or not there is a basis for the assignment of an effective date back as early as the date of the original claim.
Well, I'd like to pursue something the Secretary said. He said that an exam would only be required if there was evidence or insufficient evidence to allow the board to make that determination without an examination.
And I think that's a misreading of the regulation, Your Honor. What the regulation says is that you won't assign the effective date without medical evidence that supports that. The purpose of the regulation is to provide that medical evidence vis-a-vis the retrospective
right,
evaluation.
Right, but say there's all sorts of records between 1982 and 1989, then VA wouldn't necessarily have to order an exam.
Well, that was Judge Castle's point. I'm not sure I read the regulation that way. I think it can certainly be read that way. But the fact is that if there is a conflict in that evidence, then the veteran A ought to have the benefit of the regulation, and B ought to have the benefit of a retrospective evaluation to look at all of that evidence and make a retrospective evaluation as to how that evidence is viewed in light of the accumulated evidence since that date.
So in your view, VA can't basically deny an effective date earlier based on what they perceive to be the medical records available, and but they could grant one.
Yes.
But it seems to me that incumbent in the determination of whether we have evidence sufficient enough to make a determination, it could also be a denial. It doesn't have to be a grant.
But not without a retrospective evaluation. I agree that it can be a denial, but it cannot be a denial without a retrospective evaluation.
If he had had an evaluation every year between 1982 and 1989, and every single one said no PTSD, and suddenly in 1991 he gets a diagnosis that does.
Can I just clarify? Because it sounds like ships passing. Evaluation does not include the term medical. There has to be an evaluation. It has to be done by the board. If the medical evaluations are already in the record, the board could do it. If they're not in the record, the board may need the medical evaluation to do it. But I just want to make sure we're talking the same thing. Mm-hmm. So if you want to talk about medical evaluation, let's put the medical in there. And if you're talking about evaluation, leave it out.
Okay. And I read the regulation to implicitly include the term medical, and that the retrospective evaluation is an evaluation to determine the existence of the disabling condition in the relevant time period for the assignment of the effective date.
I had asked you earlier, and if you had a definitive doctor's statement in the record that said he got PTSD, it first developed in October 1st of 1987, that the board could rely on that. Even if it wasn't VA's, it was anybody's doctor, as long as they found it.
I agree that they could rely upon that. What I'm saying is that under the regulation, this regulation provides an additional duty to assist the veteran by affording him a specifically authorized retrospective evaluation to determine whether or not, based upon the newly accumulated evidence in the record, the concession, if you will, the determination that the veteran has post-traumatic stress disorder from 1989, whether or not there is a basis for a determination that he had at some point in time from the date of claim to 1989, and that is a mandatory duty that must be afforded unless
that's a mandatory duty on the board, on the secretary, to evaluate everything to determine if you could get an earlier effective date. If a medical examination, retrospective medical examination, is required to reasonably make that determination, then the medical examination would have to be done. What is required is a review of the record, the evidence, to determine if it can be made or to determine if additional evidence is necessary. It's slightly different than what you're saying. What you're suggesting is, regardless, period, we have to do medical evaluation, and I'm suggesting that I don't see medical in there. It seems to me that's a duty of the secretary of the board to ensure is done. It may require a medical assessment of everything, but you may have the medical assessment already in there, and if it predates the date of the reopening, the board would have to consider it and then apply it.
But Your Honor, if, with all due respect, I think that takes away a benefit that is afforded by this regulation. And once again, we have a confusing and ambiguous phraseology in this regulation that leaves out between retrospective and evaluation whether it's medical or not, and whether or not it is or isn't mandatory. It seems to me that reading this regulation in the light most favorable to the veteran, that when a veteran has reopened successfully and he has established that he has that extant disability, then this regulation should be mandatory and the VA should not be allowed to avoid the obligation of providing that examination. Because to follow your interpretation, Judge Castle, that allows the VA and or the board to then make that determination based upon the evidence without a medical evaluation.
If they can do it.
If they can do it.
Well, I think that's the rules.
Well, obviously that's what we're here for.
If there's medical evidence that establishes that he had PTSD of a certain date, and that's in the file, they can't give an earlier effective date unless this reg applies. If this reg applies, they then have to evaluate to see if there's an earlier effective date to be applied. I'm not arguing that in this case they may not have enough. I don't know if they do or don't. That's for the board to decide. If they have enough, they can assess. They didn't do that. If they don't have enough, they would have to get a medical opinion. It's the same with any medical opinion. You can walk in with a broken leg. If they can determine right off the bat that it occurred in such a date, you don't need a medical opinion. But they have to do the evaluation. But we've had enough here.
Mr. Carpenter, yes, I guess I would like to hear the response to the question that was being posed by Judge Sholin. And I think where she was headed before she was...
Sidetracked.
Was assuming that we've had a medical evaluation each year from 1982 for PTSD, and each of the physicians in each of those years said, even taking into account the veteran's version of being present when this ammo dump was blown up, he doesn't have PTSD. Okay. Does that change your evaluation, or are you expecting this court and the VA to apply the regulation and make somebody go back and redo this whole medical history?
Yes, I am. And the reason for that is, and I can't remember the precise VA regulation, but there is a VA regulation that acknowledges that the diagnosis of psychiatric disabilities, I believe it's at 4.130, maybe 4.32, is not a precise science, and that different medical examiners use different phrases and mean different things when they say those things. That the purpose of a retrospective evaluation is to take the benefit of the full knowledge of the veteran's condition to determine...
But the premise of my question was that assuming that the medical professional took the version of the veteran in the light most favorable to him or her, and said, yeah, I believe that you were there at this ammo dump and you saw 26 bodies after the mortar attack. However, you still don't have PTSD. Okay. Now, what is this piece of paper that says, yeah, this guy was on temporary duty when this ammo dump was attacked? What's that going to add to this whole equation?
It's not going to add a thing, Your Honor. But what can add is that subsequently the veteran was diagnosed with PTSD, and in retrospect, looking at the new diagnoses of PTSD, that a independent examination, retrospective evaluation, determines that the medical opinion that was given initially was simply something that should be differed with, and that there should be a reasonable basis for differing with the opinion. It should not be about whether that decision was right or wrong, or whether the supplemental service departments do or don't affect that. And I see that I've expired.
Time is up. Time is up.
Thank you very much, John.
Case will be submitted. We'll come down and greet counsel.
All right. This honorable court is adjourned to further order.